3. I'm going to read from verses 1 through to 8. Amen. Praise God. All the children making their way out. Everyone got the scripture? Let's read it together. The Bible says, now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, beginning or being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. A-L-M-S, not A-R-M-S. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us, look this way. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. He was expecting some coin, and he expected to receive something from Peter and John. Then Peter said, I'm sorry, silver and gold have I none. What you were expecting, I don't have. But such as I have, give I thee. Let's read the next 6 words all together. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say that again. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so they said, in the name of Jesus, get up, you lame man, from your bed or your pillows where you've been sitting at this gate for so long. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up. And rise up and walk. And it says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What a wonderful testimony. Amen. Second scripture is Colossians 3 verse 17. For all the cheats who haven't got it in their Bible yet, it's on the screen. You can look straight there. The Bible says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, speaking and actions, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I'm going to have a little bit of a Bible study tonight before we have our communion service, but I want to speak simply on this title. If you can throw it up on the screen, I want to preach in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray before we're seated, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to open up your word today. Lord God, we pray that our hearts would be ready, Lord, to receive what you would say to us. Help us to receive revelation, Lord. Help our faith to be boosted, Lord, just as your word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We need you to change us, oh God. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, in the name of Jesus. Beautiful, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, and we read it in our text tonight, and our lovely helpers are handing out some little brochures there that you can help fill in the blanks. And also, once you've filled the blanks in, you can pop it in the back of your Bible, because a teaching topic like this is very important to have and to know and to review. But the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 that we are to do all, everybody say all. We're to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I thought about that. You know, of course, at church, we pray in Jesus' name and all those things. But what does it mean for me as a human being, as a Christian? What does it mean for me to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because the Bible doesn't just say do everything in church in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just says do all. Everything you do, do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I had to ask myself, what does it mean to do life in the name of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to live our life in the name of Jesus? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What does it mean to do life and to live my life in the name of Jesus? You see, to do all in the name of Jesus is to live our life completely in the name of Jesus. And doing life in the name of Jesus means doing life in a way that brings honor, everybody say honor, that brings honor to Jesus' name. Doing life in the name of Jesus means to live a life where it is obvious to everybody. Everybody at your school, everybody at your workplace, everybody in your community. Doing life in the name of Jesus means to do life in a way that it is obvious to everybody that Jesus is your Lord. Everybody say Lord. That's probably one of the most misunderstood words. But it is one of the most powerful words. It is one of the most heavy and impacting words, the word Lord. Because the word Lord means owner. It means master. It means controller. That means if we're going to live life in the name of Jesus, means that it's going to be obvious to everybody that Jesus is our boss. He is our master. And so we are told to do life in such a way that it is obvious to everybody that Jesus is our Lord, and we bring glory and honor to his name. And this is something that is very basic as Christians. The Bible says that he should have the preeminence in all things. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, it says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things," there it is again, that word all, "that in all things he might have the preeminence," that he might be the highest priority, that he might be the preeminent one. And so in our text today, we learn about the power of Jesus' name. We read here that one of the first miracles recorded following Pentecost was the healing of this lame man who was beside the gate beautiful. He was there. And this lame man was there day after day begging, and he was crippled, the Bible says, from his birth. And Peter and John come, and he's expecting some coin, but instead he gets the unexpected. He gets a miracle. And the miracle comes. First of all, the Bible tells us that the miracle was instantaneous. Second of all, the miracle was complete. And third, lastly but not leastly, the miracle was performed in the name of Jesus. It was nothing about Peter or John, but it was who they represented. You see, they knew what it meant to do life in the name of Jesus. They knew what it was to do life in a way that honored Jesus Christ. And while he looked upon them, they turned that man's eyes to the one that really matters. And when people look upon us, we ought to turn their eyes and say, "I have nothing to offer you, but my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has everything that you need." And they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk." And so, of course, as you would imagine, such a miracle, the crowds began to gather around because this was a wonderful miracle. And they had seen this man probably year after year sitting there doing the same thing day in, day out. Probably some of them probably put money aside. "You know, I'm going to go to the temple today. I better make sure I got a coin for that man at the gate beautiful, that crippled man." And so the crowd began to gather because now this man is healed. And you know, you can't keep a crowd quiet when a lame man is leaping. And what did Peter and John do? Once again, they could have stood there and say, "You know what? This is the peterandjohnministries.com. Send your money to 1-800. No, they didn't do that at all. They didn't do that at all. They didn't give out their business cards. No, they began to preach Jesus. The Bible says that after the miracle was performed, they knew what was, you know, you can have a miracle in your life and still not get to heaven. You can be healed of sicknesses and still not get to heaven. Because if there is sin in your life and you haven't given your life to Jesus and been born again, you're not going to make it. And so Peter and John realize this man's had a miracle. Everybody else has seen the power of God. And you know what? There are going to be people that aren't going to make it to heaven, and they've seen the power of God with their own eyes. And so Peter and John do what is most important. They began to preach. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 that they preached the word, that the people heard the gospel, and they believed. The Bible says about 5,000 people. So that's wonderful. They didn't take any credit. They were living life in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 3 verse 16, though, it follows that Peter and John were persecuted. Let me tell you, when you start to preach Jesus, I mean, you can talk about God at work as much as you want, because there are many gods. You can talk about faith at work because there are many faiths. But people don't like it when you start talking about Jesus. And that's nothing new, because it happened back in the first church. And so they began to preach Jesus, and it followed that they were persecuted. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 3, they were thrown into jail. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 6, all the important people in Jerusalem came to try them. And they asked them, they said, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Look at this. And in his name, through faith in his name, hath this man, that hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And so they were persecuted. Why? Because they were preaching the name of Jesus. And Peter and John, they can't really understand, why have we been thrown into jail for doing a good thing? I mean, we got a lame man who's been sitting at the gate beautiful for so long. Now he's not sitting. Now he's leaping. He's making noise. He's rejoicing, and everybody's feeling nervous. So they go for Peter and John, and they start to persecute him. Let me tell you, there is still opposition to the name of Jesus in the world today. There is still opposition to Christianity. Like I said, you can talk about God, but don't mention his name. It makes people feel uncomfortable. And so in Acts chapter 5, they called the apostles in, and they had them flogged, and they were ordered. They said, "Don't speak in the name of Jesus ever again," and they let them go. Throw that next slide up. And so there is opposition to the name of Jesus. But Peter said in the New Testament, in 1 Peter 2 verse 7 to 8, he said this, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. To those that believe, Jesus is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And Jesus is to them that don't believe, he is a stone of stumbling, and he is a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." And so Peter told us, quoting the Old Testament, he said, "This he's going to be rejected. Even though he's the cornerstone, he's going to be rejected." And let me tell you, the truth is that Satan is going to try and stop us from saying the name of Jesus, because it is the all-powerful name. Satan is going to try and stop you from giving glory to Jesus Christ. You see, it's not just a mantra that we have. It's not some sort of hocus pocus where we just say the name of Jesus. It's not just the name Jesus, because not just anybody can cry out the name Jesus. But the Bible says through faith in his name. It comes when we not just pronounce the name, but when we put our faith in his name. Everybody say faith. I'm talking about not just a mental assent or just a belief. I'm talking about faith with action, that we live our life that shows everybody that we have complete faith in the name of Jesus. So I've come to encourage you today. Yes, the times are easy right now compared to what it's going to be like in the future, but we must never be ashamed. We must never be intimidated. We must cherish and we must exalt that beautiful name of Jesus. I've come to preach in Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. Now he has become the head of the corner. And neither," everybody say neither, "neither is there salvation in any other." Everybody say no other name. There is salvation in no other name. "For there is none other name under heaven. Not Peter or John. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. We've got to cherish that name. Don't be intimidated. You know, I got a little pet peeve, you know, and I don't have a problem necessarily with somebody saying, you know, I believe in Christ or Christ did that for me. Yes, in some sense, it's correct. And in the Bible, he is referred to as the Christ. But let me tell you, use his name. Christ means the anointed one. Just say Jesus. Say Jesus Christ. Don't beat around the bush. Let him know he's Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus Christ. And there is no other name like the name of Jesus. But this scripture right here is an important scripture because there are two statements here. And it says, there's two statements and it helps us realize, first of all, this lame man is leaping. He is healed because there is healing in the name of Jesus. And so if you're going to come pray, we're going to pray for you to receive healing. You're going to hear one thing for certain out of our mouth. We're going to say, in the name of Jesus. When we pray, we're going to say, in the name of Jesus. There is healing in his name. And then verse 12 tells us there's something else in his name. There is salvation in his name. There is healing and there is salvation. I like what Peter and John said. They said, silver and gold have we none. Let me tell you, there is no social answer to a spiritual problem. There is no social answer to a spiritual problem. The answer to everything is in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer. You see, this man, he had a problem. Silver and gold wasn't going to fix it, but Jesus' name could fix it. Healing in Jesus' name. And so all through the scriptures, we see the importance of Jesus' name. Everybody say Jesus. All right, first of all, let's look at a few instances here. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. It says, remission of sins is in the name of Jesus. And so our sins are remitted because it's in the name of Jesus. It's like when you want to go pay a bill, okay, and sin is a debt that we owe to God. When we're going to pay a bill, you're going to go take that check and you're going to have Jesus' name on it because he's the one that died for you. Remission of sins. Our sins are remitted. Our sins are paid for, the Bible says, in the name of Jesus. Because he's the one that died. We're encouraged to ask what we will in the name of Jesus. You can read it. We have an assurance, the Bible says, wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, when we meet in his name, that he's there in the midst. Further, the Bible says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. We pray in Jesus' name. People are healed. We already read it in Jesus' name. Signs and wonders in Jesus' name. Spirits are subject to the name of Jesus. The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Then there's something that, and I believe someone's going to learn something new tonight, but then there's something that much of the church has missed. The Bible teaches that water baptism must also be done in Jesus' name. And that shouldn't surprise us because the Bible says that we are to do all. Everybody say all. Pardon me, all means all. So it shouldn't surprise us. But baptism also is to be done in the name of Jesus. And so someone may say, well, hang on, Pastor. I recall a scripture, Matthew 28, 19, it says, where Jesus told them to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So surely, Pastor, we are to do everything but baptize in the name of Jesus. But we are to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let me tell you today, before I go any further, it doesn't matter what denomination you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. The most important thing is not what the preacher says, but what the Bible says. It's important. There are dogmas, there are doctrines, there are creeds, there are all sorts of committees that have come up with all sorts of beliefs. But the most important thing is what does the Bible say? I'm not here to tell anybody I'm right and you're wrong. No, the Bible's right and everything else is wrong. The Bible. And so there are a lot of beliefs about baptism, but let me just cover some things about baptism. First of all, baptism is necessary. Everybody say necessary. Water baptism is, there's an emphasis on water baptism in the Word of God. The New Testament church taught about water baptism. It was a command. We read it in Matthew 28, 19. Jesus said to baptize them. He told them to go into all the world and baptize. Secondly, Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, speaking of baptism, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so, baptism is necessary. 1 Peter 3, verse 21, it says, the like figure whereunto, talking about how Noah was saved in the ark from the water, it says, the like figure whereunto even baptism thus also now save us. Not that we go into the water, this is what it's saying, not the putting of the way of the filth of the flesh. It's not like you go into the water and we give you a spiritual bar of soap and you start scrubbing the sin off you. No, it doesn't say that. It says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says very clearly that baptism thus also now, what? Save us. And so it's necessary. The second point about baptism, and unfortunately, just a little bit of study of the Word of God would reveal that baptism is not by sprinkling, but baptism is by full immersion. Because you've heard it time and time again for those that have been here for a while, but in the Bible, all baptism was done by full immersion. They were buried under the water in the name of Jesus. In fact, it's so easy, as if you read the Greek word for baptism is the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip or to plunge under the water. Everybody say under. Everyone say immerse. To put it under the water. Now, the word for sprinkle is another word. Raltizo means to sprinkle. And so when Philip left Samaria where he had been evangelizing, he went out into the desert and there was a guy riding a chariot along. It was that Ethiopian eunuch, all right? And so Peter jumps up to there and he's reading the book of Isaiah. Philip jumps up there, the evangelist, and he says, what are you reading, Mr. Eunuch? He says, he was reading about the crucifixion, how Jesus died on the cross. And then the Bible says that Philip began to preach to him Jesus. Simple, preached Jesus. And then it comes to a point he must have preached about baptism, because suddenly the chariot comes to a stop and the eunuch says, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, there's pretty certain that if that Ethiopian eunuch was riding along on his chariot, he probably would have had some water with him, maybe in a little canister or a little bottle or something like that. So why the need to stop the chariot and to go down into the water if sprinkling was okay? Because he could have just taken that bottle of water and said, hey, guess what? Got about half a bottle of water. I'll just tip it over you and consider yourself baptized. No, that would have been raltized. But the Bible doesn't talk about raltism. It talks about baptism. And baptism is by full immersion. Look, let me show you some scriptures here. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, that Jesus was even himself baptized in the Jordan. He went up out of the water in 3:16, in Matthew 3:16. In John 3:23, the Bible says that they were baptized because there was much water there. In Acts chapter 8, which we just spoke about, they went down into the water. And more than all of that, I think is so important, is that when you immerse somebody under the water, it is symbolism of being buried with Christ. Buried with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, Colossians 2, verse 12, talks about being buried with Christ. So we've established one thing through Scripture, that baptism is necessary. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, let me tell you, you have to be baptized if you want to be saved. That Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The second thing is that it must be done by full immersion. The third thing is that it must be done in Jesus' name. Now, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the Bible says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the... Say it a little bit louder, a little bit clearer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first message of the New Testament church. Peter's just got the ball rolling on his first message, and he preaches, and everybody says, "What must we do?" And Peter says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." So they were baptized. He told them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 16, they were baptized. You can read it, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cornelius's household in Acts chapter 10 verse 48 were baptized in the name of the Lord. Disciples of John were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 6 verse 3 says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" And so the name is so important. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. And that includes baptism. Now we still have that little lingering question about Jesus telling the 11 disciples to go into all the world, baptizing, to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now I wonder, Jesus said, "Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost." What was Peter thinking when he preached that first message and told them to be baptized in Jesus' name? Because the Bible says Peter was standing with the rest of the brethren, the disciples, who were also there when Jesus gave the Great Commission. And they would have been like, "Hey, Pete, that's not what Jesus said." Surely they would have told him. I mean, this is the first message of the New Testament church. This is the first time Jesus, he's ascended. We've been left to our own, and we mucked it up with the first sermon. No, in fact, being baptized in the name. The Bible says the name. Everybody say singular. It says baptizing them in the name. One. Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are titles. They're not names. I'm a father. I'm a son. I've got a spirit. I'm also an uncle. I'm a cousin. They're all my titles, but they're not going to get me anywhere. I can go in and I can write a check. I can write a check for you, Nathan, $1 million. I can sign it with one of my titles, Father. Take it to the bank. What are you going to get? An egg. Nothing. They're going to say, "Okay, this looks great, $1 million, but whose account is the name in?" I could write son. No, the name is important. You see, there's power in the name of Jesus. You see, in all scripture, there is only one way that anyone was ever baptized, and that is in the name of the Lord or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Bible do you find somebody being baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Jesus said, he said, baptizing them in the name. So we got to know what the name is. Now, Matthew 28, 16. We go back a little bit before Matthew 28, 19. Let's go to Matthew 28, 16. It says that the 11 men went with Jesus to Galilee. So there were 11. One of those 11 was Peter. And only 11 men heard Jesus give the Great Commission. He spoke it to those 11 disciples. He said, "Go into all the world, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." So who do you think are the ones best qualified to know what Jesus meant when he said the name? The 11 that were there. When Jesus was there. And so what did the 11 preach? And how did the 11 baptize? They baptized in the name of Jesus. And that's why Peter, when it was fresh in his mind, Jesus has ascended, he's there on the day of Pentecost, the crowd is gathered, and they said, "What must we do?" He said, "You got to be baptized for the remission of your sins in the name of Jesus." You see, Jesus is the redemptive New Testament name of God. The angel told Mary in Luke 1 verse 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Jesus himself said, "I am come in my Father's name." John 14, 26, the Bible says the Holy Ghost is sent in his name. And so when we use the name of Jesus, just like Jesus said before Matthew 28, 19, what comes before Matthew 28, 19? Matthew 28, verse 18. Very good. Just making sure you're awake. What comes before Matthew 28, 18? Matthew 28, 17. Okay, and we don't have to worry about 17 says. But what does Matthew 28, 18 says? Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All power. And then he says, baptizing them in the name. They knew what the name was, and they baptized in the name of Jesus. So I wonder, and this may be enlightening for some today, but why is it that some would not understand the power of the name of Jesus and instead give someone a no-name baptism, but baptizing them in the titles? Look it up in Britannica Encyclopedia, and you've got this in your notes there. It's not on the screen, but Britannica Encyclopedia, the 11th edition, if you go to the page there, 365 in volume 3, the Britannica says that baptism was changed from the name of Jesus to words Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in the second century. Canny, Encyclopedia of Religion, page 43, the early church, it says the early church baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus until the second century. Hastings Encyclopedia of Religion, volume 2, Christian baptism was administered using the words in the name of Jesus Christ. Page 377, baptism was always in the name of Jesus until the time of Justin Martyr. Catholic Encyclopedia. Here the authors acknowledge on volume 2, page 263, that the baptismal formula was changed by their church. Scaife, Herzog, a religious encyclopedia, volume 1, page 435. The New Testament only knows the baptism in the name of Jesus. Hastings Dictionary of the Bible, page 88. It says, it must be acknowledged that the threefold name of Matthew 28, 19 does not appear to have been used by the primitive church, but rather they used the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus. You see, it makes sense because we are told to do all in the name of Jesus. And so why would we pray? Why would there be healing? Why would there be salvation? And we wouldn't baptize in that beautiful name. I'm here to preach today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's nothing like the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Study that for yourself because that's something that's so plain in the Bible. You don't see anybody being baptized in titles, but baptized in the name, singular. Acts chapter 5, let's get to the end of the story. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 42. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They said, we don't want you to speak that name of Jesus anymore. Talk about faith, talk about gods, but don't mention the name of Jesus. And they departed from the presence of the council. What happened? They were told not to preach. They had been persecuted. They walked out of the council. And they, woo, yes. They counted it a joy to suffer for the name of Jesus. That's how precious that name is, brothers and sisters. They said, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. And daily in the temple, they kept preaching in the temple, and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach what? Jesus Christ. They kept preaching Jesus. The greatest advantage we have in this world is to have Jesus. You see, when Abraham needed a lamb, Abraham knew him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. When Israel needed protection from disease and sickness, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Gideon knew him as Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. None of these Old Testament names were a complete revelation of who God was. But when the fullness of time came, God satisfied the longings of his people and he revealed himself in all his power and in all his glory through the name of Jesus. I'm thankful that I got Jesus' name. I'm thankful that I got the name of Jesus. And so the name of Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah gave. And we're coming up to Christmas. It just happens too quick now, doesn't it? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it's going to be on the screen. You have to skip ahead a few there. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Can you see? Even the prophet was anticipating the name, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. What's his name? Jesus. Jesus, and you shall call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. This wonderful child was to be known as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, but his name was Jesus. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for in him, speaking of Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is power in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2 verse 10, as I finish, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. That's the power of Jesus' name. Let me tell you, never be afraid. You know, you may go into a situation, and many times, you know, as a pastor, people come for prayer. You know, seems like we have faith that God can do the cough and cold thing. He can probably do an ingrown toenail. But then someone comes and says, Pastor, I got cancer. Straight away, it's like, God, there's nothing I can do except to pray in Jesus' name. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Maybe someone's going to come to you, your workplace, and say, can you please pray for me? I need prayer. I'm going through this. You say, you know what? I'm just a person just like you. I don't have any powers, but I do have something. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And pray for them in Jesus' name. Live a life that brings glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all what? In the name of Jesus. It's something I love, and you've probably heard me say this before. I found it. I can't even remember where I found it, but this little thing is so cool. It just shows us who Jesus is. Jesus is everything to everybody. He is all you need. To the architect, he's the chief cornerstone. To the astronomer, he's the bright and morning star. To the baker, he's the bread of life. To the builder, he's the sure foundation. To the carpenter, he is the door. To the doctor, he's the great physician. To the educator, he's the teacher. To the electrician, he's the light of the world. To the farmer, he's the sower and the Lord of the harvest. To the fireman, he's the water of life. To the florist, Sister Dorcas, he's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. To the geologist, he's the tried stone and the rock of ages. To the historian, he's the ancient of the days. To the jeweler, he's the precious cornerstone. To the jury, he's the faithful and true witness. To the laborer, he's the giver of rest. To the lawyer, he's the advocate and the mediator. To the merchant, he's the pearl of great price. To the news reporter, he's good tidings of great joy. To the pharmacist, he's the balm of Gilead and the anointment. To the philosopher, he's the wisdom of God. To the photographer, he's the express image of God. To the printer, he's the word. To the publisher, he's the author and finisher of our faith. To royalty, he's the King of Kings. To the shepherd, he's the Lamb of God. To the student, he's the truth. To the theologian, he's the author and finisher of our faith. And to all who believe, he is Jesus. He's everything you need. Everything you need is in the name of Jesus. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. And so I got to ask you today, do you know him? Do you know who Jesus is? Is he your Lord and Savior? Are you living your life bringing glory and honor to the name of Jesus? Come on, let's lift our hands and just worship that name right now. Let's worship our Savior, Jesus. We love you, God. We glorify you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and your hands just a moment. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us your name. Hallelujah. Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have. Oh, God, we've got the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's what this table's about.